भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 5, Texts 24, 25, and 26. But before I start, I think the Maharaji is asking for one volunteer to help with the chapati rolling. Somebody can help out. Or maybe there's somebody there already. But, okay. Okay, word for word, Tretayam. In Treta Yuga. Rakta Varna. Red complexion. Asau. He. Chatubahu. Four armed. Three Mekala. Wearing three belts. Representing three phases of Vedic initiation. Hiranyakesha, having golden hair. Trayatma, personifying the knowledge of the three Vedas. Shrukshuva Adi, the sacrificial wooden ladle. Spoon and so on. Upalakshana, having as his symbols. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chaturbahu srime kala. Hiranyakesha stratma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chaturbahu srimekala. Hiranyakesha strayatma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chaturbahu srimekala. Hiranyakesha strayatma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chaturbahu srimekala. Hiranyakesha strayatma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chatur bahu srimekala. Hiranyakesha strayatma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana.
Madhujis.
Tretayam raktavarno sau. Chaturbahu srimekala. Hiranyakesha strayatma. Shrukshuvadi upalakshana. Tretayam raktavarno sau. Turbahu Srinikala Hiranyakesha Sriyatma Shukshavadi Upalakshana. Translation and purport. In Treta Yuga, the Lord appears with a red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing initiation into each of the three Vedas. Embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas, the symbols are the ladle, spoon, and other implements of sacrifice, purport by the disciples of the Sanghas. The Shtuk is a particular implement for pouring ghee in sacrifices. It is about an arm's length long and is made of a particular type of wood called Vikankata. The Shtuk has a rod-like handle and a spout with a shallow groove at its tip and resembles a swan's beak. Its front part is a carved-out spoon the size of a fist. The shruva is another implement used in sacrificial oblations. It is made of kadhira wood. It is smaller than the shruk and is used to pour ghee into the shruk. It is also sometimes used instead of the shruk to pour ghee directly into the sacrificial fire. These are the Lord's symbols in Treta Yuga, when the Lord incarnates to introduce the Yuga Dharma of Chagya, or sacrifice. 25, we could do it together. Tantada manuja devam sarva deva mayam harim yajanti hijaya traya dharmishta brahmavadina. Translation. In Treta Yuga, those members of human society who are fixed in religiosity and are sincerely interested in achieving the absolute truth worship the Lord Hari, who contains himself all the demigods, who contains within himself all the demigods. The Lord is worshipped by the rituals of sacrifice taught in the three Vedas. Purport. The residents of the earth in Satyuga are described as having all good qualities. In Treta Yuga, human society is described as dharmishtaha, or thoroughly religious, and Brahma Vadina, are faithfully seeking the absolute truth through the Vedic injunctions. However, it should be noted that all of the exalted qualities of the people of Satyuga are not mentioned in this verse. In other words, in Satyuga, people are automatically perfect, whereas in Treta Yuga, people are inclined to become perfect through performing Vedic sacrifice. In Treta Yuga, human society is not automatically Krishna conscious, as it was in Satya Yuga. But people are still highly inclined to become Krishna conscious, and thus they very strictly follow the Vedic injunctions. Vishnur Yagna Pratsni Garva Sarvadeva Urukrama Vishaka Pirjantascha Guru Gaya Ityuryate. Translation. In Treta Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Vishnu, Jagya, Krishnigarbha, Sarvadeva, Urukrama, Vrishakapi, Jayanta, and Urugai. Purport. Krishnigarbha refers to Krishna's incarnation as the son of Krishnadeva and Prajapati Sutapa. Vrishakapi indicates that if the living entities simply remember the Lord, he is inclined to shower all benedictions upon them, thus satisfying their desires and removing their miseries. Since the Lord is always victorious, he is called Jayanta. Om Gyan Tirmanisya Janandana Shalakaya Sakim Tamyana Tasman Shigurvena. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nami. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pachani. Nirvishesha Shanavani Pashtani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Tathagata Radha Shivasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Staptam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Karamayam, Vidadi Saparantikam. So Happy New Year to everybody. May this new year bring great Krishna conscious realizations, economic stability to all of us. So we have some interesting forces here, and I like these forces in the sense that they touch upon the other ages. Of course, here the foremost point is to explain about the Lord in the four yugas. That's been asked by Maharaj Nimi to the sages, to explain who are the Lords in the four ages and the yuga dharma, and their color and so forth. So as already been explained, in Satya Yuga, the Lord is Hamsa. He is the white incarnation, and he would establish the Yuga Dharma of meditation. In Treta Yuga, the Lord is Jagya or Yajna, and he would establish the Yuga Dharma of sacrifices. In Dwarpa Yuga, the Lord is bluish blackish, and he would establish the Dharma of Devta worship. And then in Kali Yuga, the Lord is blackish also, and he establishes the Yuga Dharma. But in this specific Kali Yuga, he is golden, and he establishes the Sankirtan Jagya. See? So these are the four complexion of the Lord, and the four dharmas for the four different ages. And it is very, I like to talk about these ages because people become very bewildered. Even the great scientists and so become bewildered when they see into the past, but they cannot explain what's been happening. See? Like the beings in Satyug, it's stated that they are 100% pious, filled with all good qualities. But piety will diminish by 25% in Satyug. So by the time the age reaches Treta Yuga, piety has become 75%. And then piety will diminish by another 25% in Treta Yuga. And piety will become 50% in Dwarpa Yuga. And then piety will diminish by another 25% in Dwarpa Yuga. And it becomes 25% in Kali Yuga. And that's at the beginning of Kali Yuga. But by the end of Kali Yuga, it will be almost to nil. And like all, so many scriptures has explained the degradation of Kali Yuga, the age that we are in now. I mean, this is the beginning of Kali Yuga. It's degraded, but it's not as degraded that it would be 400,000 years from now. See? But I like to reverse back to the first ages. The lifespan of the living entity in Satyuga is 100,000 years. In Kali Yuga, it's 100 years. Can you imagine the difference 100,000 years to 100 years. Look at the decline in difference there. That's the lifespan. In Treta Yuga, the lifespan is 10,000 years. So between 100,000 years, it would start to dwindle from 100,000 until 10,000. And then from 10,000, it would dwindle to 1,000. And from 1,000, it would dwindle to 100 years. See? So look at the diminishing state there. From 100,000 down to 100. The size of the living entities, it's stated in Satyuga, the human beings specifically, 21 cubits. 21 cubits is over 30 feet. What's the length of this temple? Maybe from here to there is 30 feet. Keshava? 40 feet the width from there to there. So maybe a little past Mother Madhumati, a little more. So you put it up really, maybe past the roof a little bit. That's in Satya Yuga. In Treta Yuga, it diminishes to 14 cubits, which is a little over 20 feet. And then in Dwarpa Yuga, it diminishes to 7 cubits, which is a little over 10 feet. And in Kali Yuga, 3.5 cubits, a little over 5 feet, like 6 yards. Some people 6 plus and stuff, but that would come down. And by the end of the age, they'd be like little midget, maybe 2 feet tall at the end of time. You see? So this is all is taking place. Science are seeing this in their findings, but they cannot explain it. You see? They have the theory of evolution where it's saying everything evolved from small to big. But really, it's the theory of devolution. Everything is devolving from big to small. And that's why it's bewildering the whole scientific world. And that is why I like these verses, because it gives us an insight into this. And these are in different scriptures, so many, like there's a conversation between Hanuman and Bhima. Hanuman was asked, Bhima had asked Hanuman to show his form in Treta Yuga, because Hanuman is from Treta Yuga. And Hanuman explained to Bhima that the state in Treta Yuga was so much different than the state in this yuga that you cannot understand. In the land structure, in the rivers, in the plants, in the animals, in the human beings, the demigods, the sages, everything. The state in Treta Yuga is much different from Dwarpa Yuga. And then imagine in Kali Yuga. He would also explain in Kali Yuga. In fact, he foretold the coming of Lord Chaitanya within Kali Yuga. See? So that was clearly explained. But at the end, after he explained to Bhima the state of the different yugas, then he showed his mighty form in Treta Yuga. And then he showed his colossal form when he jumped from the Himalayas to Lanka. A huge, mighty form. When Bhima saw that, he was trembling. Then we have the sage Markandeya Rishi. He also explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira about the state in the different ages. Then you had Sanjaya explain to Dhrisarashtra about that. Then we have here the sages, the 9 Yogendras explaining to Maharaj. So these, they're in so many places in the scriptures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, it's in synopsis form, which is little. But in all these other places, there's great detail. I know also in the Ramayana. I mean, I've read the Ramayana a long time and I couldn't find a copy, but I know there were references about the states within the different ages. And so, the state in these different ages, in Treta Yuga, in Kali Yuga, In Satyaga, food would come up to the earth on its own accord. It stated that nectar would come out from the ground, and the living entities would eat that. This is stated in the Vayu Purana and some other different Puranas also. And then after that, Kalpavriksha trees grew. See, that's wish fulfilling trees. And as the living entities become like lose their piety, then the tree would diminish. But then the earth becomes very, very easy to till. Tilling the earth was very easy, and thing grows so very easily. See, in abundance, great abundance, the cow would give milk in profusion. The trees would produce fruit in profusion. So there was very, so scarcity in the other ages was not there. Like in Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. I mean, there was some, but not as in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, scarcity is always under there, in the run, see? But of course, you know, if we become Krishna conscious, then we find that the scarcity within our life also become diminished. See, because well, we have to have the faith and surrender to Krishna. So that's there. And of course, we know the ages. The ages changes drastically too. From 1,796,000 years to 1,296, then 864,000, then 432. So the age dwindles also. The landmass also dwindles. The size of the trees dwindles. The size of the animals dwindles. See? Scientists are finding these fossil records, but they cannot explain. See, they are bewildered. And of course we describe. So the state of the ages diminish so much. So in Treta Yuga, the Yuga Dharma was sacrifice. And there were many great personalities that performed very, very great sacrifices. They were stated that Maharaj Gaya had a sacrificial altar of 30 yojanas by 26 yojanas. Can we imagine? A yojana is how much? 240 miles by, say, 25. I mean, you could. Can you imagine the length of the sacrificial altar that Maharaj Gaya had? It stated that Maharaj Rantidev employed 200,000 cooks daily. 200 cooks daily. See, and so the age in Treta Yuga was also filled with wonder. It's stated that the living entities in Satya Yuga would fly at will, or most of them could fly at will. Can appear and disappear. Mystic. They had so much mystic potencies. In Treta Yuga it was there also, but not as in Satya Yuga. The living entities, they had a lot of mystic powers. If you could remember, even the monkeys that were helping Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra's age was Treta Yuga. And if you remember the monkeys, like Hanuman. Hanuman had all the 8 mystic cities. He could appear as big as he want or as small as he want. He could move at the speed of the mind. So much different things. He could acquire so much. And not only Hanuman, but even the other monkeys. I can remember in Ramayana, they were saying, Angad was saying, Angad can jump 70 yojanas. Jambavan said, well, I'm old now, but I can jump so many yojanas, but I might not be able to land in Lanka. One said, I can land in Lanka, but then I cannot jump back. So you can imagine the powers in Treta Yuga of these beings. Jambavan said in Satyuga, he could have circled the earth like 10 times or something like that. Jambavan, in one jump, you know, circumambulate the earth in so many times, one leap. You see? See, there was another personality called Bali. Not Bali Maharaj, but the brother of Sugru, Bali. I think he grabbed Ravana under his arm and squeezed him there for I don't know how long. I mean, that's in the Ramayana. See, he was so powerful. He humbled Ravana. Ravana thought he was powerful. So there was so much difference in those ages. Also, we can look at the Lord. Besides the Yuga avatar, we have the Leela avatar in the ages. In Satya Yuga, you had Matsya avatar, right? The fish incarnation. You had Kurma avatar, right? When the mountain Mandara was being shown on his back. Kurma avatar. You had Varaha. When Varaha avatar, that's in Satya also. You have Nashinga avatar in Satya Yuga. We have Vamana avatar in Satya Yuga also. All these avatars were in Satya Yuga. And if you remember the pastimes that took place in those ages, they were great and wonderful pastimes. In Treta Yuga, we had Parshuram and then Rama. In Treta Yuga also, Varnashram was established. In Satya Yuga, there's no need for Varnashram. Treta Yuga Varnashram was established. And it went on way on to Dwarpa Yuga. At the end of Dwarpa Yuga. A little bit in Kali Yuga, not much of Varnashram anymore. And the Kshatriyas became really puffed up later on in Treta Yuga when Parshurama had to humble them. See? So we can recall all of these. So all these leelas that we read in within Srimad Bhagavatam happens within these four ages. Usually what happens, it starts from Satyuga. It's been related, the events are related from Satyuga down to Dwarpa Yuga, and then even a few that happens in Kali. Usually that's how it takes place. Some events would maybe recall in other ages, like another day of Brahma, sometimes, but not so much. Usually everything, like for example, the description of the earth in Satyuga, it's clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto that Priyavrata from the imprints of his chariot made seven oceans that created the seven oceans. I mean, that's literal, you know. The imprints from the chariot created the seven oceans, and we have the seven dvipas. You see? And when the dvipas are given, Jambu Dweep fits the description of Asia, or to a great extent. I mean, the structure of the earth would be much different from now, because it's how many? This is the 28th Manu. 28th Manu means like over 2 billion years. You know, so the structure of the earth, the earth usually lasts for one day of Brahma. And then it's disintegrated, and then it's recreated back every day of Brahma. You see? So the descriptions given, Bharat Varsh fits the description of India perfectly, if you study the fifth canto. So if Bharat Varsh fits the description of India, the other Varshas within Jambudvip would be within Asia. And then the other Varshas have to be, the other Dvipas have to be the other continents. You know, I mean, it looks colossal, gigantic. See? But anyhow, I mean, it's a subject for debate. We can discuss that on a different platform, but coming back to this here, So this is how it works. And so sometimes the question could ask, well, yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati yudama dharmas tadatmanam sri jami aham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline of religious principles, I abandon. Right, the Lord says that. But in Satyuga, there is no decline in religious principle. See? But the Lord appeared. But he came then to not reestablish, but establish religious principles. He came to establish religious principle. In Hamsa Avatar, with the process of meditation. See? And then, of course, the other ages and so. So, as stated in the Lagu Bhagav Amrita, Kataye Varna Namabhyam Shukla Satya Yuge Hari Rakta Swayam Kramat Krishna Straitayam Dwarpe Kalam. The Supreme Lord is described in terms of his color and names as Sukla, white in Satyuga, red, dark blue and black in Treta, Dwarpa and Kaliyuga. So usually in Kaliyuga he is described as black. But on this special Kaliyuga he is golden because of the advent of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna just come once in the day of Brahma. So we are extremely fortunate in this Kali Yuga. And stated the sages would glorify it because of the advent of this Sankirtan Jagya. And this Sankirtan Jagya would go on for 10,000 years. And then the weakness of Kali Yuga would take its turn. See, more and more. I mean, we have some discrepancies now, but you could imagine as the ages wane. You can imagine in 100,000 years from now, then 200,000 years, then 300,000, and then at the end of the age, imagine the degradation then. Stated humans would be like 2 feet tall. They would be fatter by 16 years. In fact, they would be full grown up by 16 years, not that fatter. Old age by 16 years. And girl would give birth at 5 years and 6 years. You see? The cows would look smaller than a sheep. See? So you could imagine. Imagine the degradation. So we have all these degradation. Maybe in the verses, I can touch upon the different sacrificial, the different sacrificial spoons that were mentioned here. You had the ladle, the shruva, the struk that's explained here. And I'm sure, like when the devotees do sacrifices here, you could see some of the different spoons there. See, one resembles the head of a swan, one resembles a pan, one resembles a little cup like that. See? So all these sacrificial implements were used in Treta Yuga for the vast jagyas. But in these ages, they're not so much known. I mean, somewhat, but not so much. So that's been explained by the sages. And then the colors of the Lord. And then here it's explained, the Lord would be called Vishnu, Yajna, Prishnagarbha, Sarvadeva, Urukrama, Vishakapi, Jayanti, and Urugai. Urukrama is a name of Vamanadeva, right? Trivikrama, Urukrama, and so forth. But I know elsewhere it's mentioned that the Lord as Vamanadeva, He had appeared in Satyuga. Because he came before the advent of Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra came almost at the beginning of Treta Yuga. Not quite the beginning, but somewhat. See? So everything that's mentioned within the scriptures, they're established within the ages. And so if we are a little careful, we can understand what ages. I mean, I give some little explanation, it was a little fast, but we can at least understand what ages the Lord came and what did he do and so forth. The state of condition in the different ages and the state now. And it is very, very bewildering now to imagine a tree so tall, like even mentioned in the Bhagavatam. I mean, we have trees like 100 feet now, but multiply that maybe 10 times or so, you know, 1,000. If we see a tree 1,000 feet tall, you know, can we imagine that? The skyscrapers, they're not so tall. See, so can we imagine the size? An elephant maybe 4, but 10 times bigger than those now. You see, or a snake, half a mile long or something. We cannot imagine. So Hanuman was telling Bhima that the ages, the beings are in the consciousness of that age. We're put in that consciousness too. Because if we're put in a Satyuga atmosphere, it becomes difficult for us to comprehend and so forth. So I'd like to stop here if there's any correction or comments or a question. Hari Bol Prabhuji. Yeah. Okay, so one of the younger, stronger kids can move around with the mic. It should be the Dharma for this age.
Hare Krishna. Very nice class. Very. There were a couple thoughts in my mind. One was the Nashram Dharma, that he said that there was no need for it in Satyuga, but in Treta and Dwarpa Yuga.
That's been established.
Yeah, it dwindled. And of course, in this age, it's pretty.
Yeah, far gone almost.
Yeah. But Srila Prabhupada did make a comment. He said, I've given you 50%. Of everything. Now the other 50%, the Nashram Dharma, he wanted us to do that.
Yes, because if this movement has to go on for 10,000 years more, Varnashram Dharma helps tremendously because it molds the living entity into a set of piety. The site itself is structured in a very nice way that helps Krishna consciousness tremendously. I mean, imagine if we had a Varnashram setting, then Krishna consciousness can flow more easily. I mean, we're in an age where it's most difficult. People hardly understand Dharma in this age, you know, social structure. I mean, there is a structure there. Like, for example, we have the policemen, but it's not that they're there because they're brave and they want to fight. At the fire of a gun, they're running. You know, they're there mostly for the money, you know. Even within all the different social structures we have, people are not there so much because they you know, they like the priestly work or something, like the pandits and stuff. They're not there because they want to be priests. They just there because they want the money, you see. And if the money is not there, they might go elsewhere, you know. But if that social structure is established to some degree, and if we can try to establish it. When I came here, I mean, I was trying, I, you know, came in the mode of Varnashram. I got a big land here and I started agriculture project and stuff. You see? But then I realized like only me was performing Varanasi. And it becomes so difficult, you know, so difficult that, you know, it's not like a one man show, you know. It has to be in a society and devotees group together and work with that frame of mind. See? And for example, in one sense, I was burnt out, you know. I mean, trying to do organic farming and so. And even though, I mean, I'm not inclined towards that really, but because I wanted to like set up a Varnashram system or help to some degree really, I started out like that. But it's not like it's like my inkling really, you know. You see, but I start, you know, and I was born out with it. But I mean, I know so much about cow protection, so much about agriculture. I know about these things. You see, but it's just that, you know, you have to have a lot of like-minded personality. In other words, the readiness is like not there. Eventually it would come about. But, you know, I mean, some devotees are trying in different ways. But it, you know, in time, hopefully, something can be established. We'll see, really. But of course, Krishna consciousness is above the regular Varnashram system. That's what we call Daivi Varnashram. And you know, even though one might be a sannyasi, he might still wash the pots. Or he might be GBC, but he still does menial things, you know. So you do the needful. One day I went to Balavanta's place and I saw him digging up a whole ant's nest and moving to a different part. So I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I don't want to harm these ants or plow on them or something. Don't remember what." So he's moving them. And then he was telling me, in this age, a devotee does everything. You know, he would do agriculture, he would do lawyer duty, he would do whatever it takes, really. You know, because we understand the concept, we're Krishna's servant. And so it doesn't matter whatever we do it for Krishna's service. But Varnashram helps to some degree. It's stated as like the springboard to Krishna consciousness. Any other point?
Subject. Varnashram Dharma. Prabhupada did say, devotees, his disciples asked him, "Is there going to be a war?" And a number of times he said, "If they stop killing the cow or animals, that can be." Then finally he said, "No, a war is inevitable." Like that, they're killing too many animals or cows. So in this case, didn't Srila Prabhupada want us, like His Holiness Bhakti Raghava Swami, is a stat for us to be self-sufficient, grow our own food in case of a war? He didn't say when the war would be, but he said there's going to be a big one, devastating.
Yes, well, of course, I mean, and because of the sinful activities, especially on non-slaughters, it may happen sometime. Like when Y2K was here, really, I could remember a lot of devotees was trying to put stuff on the ground and different things like that. You know, and within my mind, I say, you know, it may or may not happen, really, but we're all prepared. Devotees have so much land here, we can grow stuff. You know, it's not that difficult, really. But it's good. It's good to know about these things, and you're good to prepare to some degree, you know. Maybe not all devotees would incline towards that, but it's good to keep these things in mind. But of course, by preaching, we can able to diminish the slaughtering of animals. See, preaching, forceful preaching is one of the best. All right, we'll... Okay, one more point.
about sinful versus pious. And you were enlightening us about the different ages, and Satyuga, all the people were pious. And Treta Yuga, it diminished, and Dwapara Yuga diminished, and very much in Kali Yuga. But Prabhupada once gave, he's once stated that from the from Lord Brahma down to the Indragopa journey, everyone that takes birth in the material world is sinful.
Yeah.
See, so even though this piety, it must be, I'm maybe speculating. I want you to enlighten me on this. It may not be transcendental piety, like Sukriti, maybe Punya piety. Could you clarify that for me?
Yeah, like it stated like at the beginning of Satyoga, 100% piety, and then it would diminish it with time already. But the mere idea that we come into this material world means that we have a selfish agenda to want to be separatists, or to serve our senses, to be away from the Lord and so forth. So that's there really. So that is slightly different from the piety or the piousness of living entities. Of course, even in Satyug, though the living entities are so much in the mode of goodness and they're pious and everything, but still the mere idea that they're in this material world means they have this separate mentality, you know. This separate mentality, you know, to want to lord it over to some degree. And so as the ages dwindle, then that becomes even more prevalent up to this Kali where it's so much strong now. You see? I mean, and even for this new year, we should even try to encourage the younger generations more and more. In fact, we should praise those devotees that are bringing their kids, and praise all these youngsters for coming. But if each devotee can get their child or children to come, that would be so much good. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.